Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You may have missed this story last week.
Now, in most people's eyes, Albert DeSalvo has been known as the Boston Strangler, but without direct evidence linking him, questions and legitimate questions have lingered about that perpetrator.
A break in the Boston Strangler case, a brutal murder mystery, the killing of 11, possibly even 13 women in Boston that has never been definitively linked to the longtime suspect and confessed killer, Albert DeSalvo, until a DNA match last week announced there by Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley. But you're much more likely to know the Hollywood version of the Boston Strangler case.
We've got no fingerprints, no witnesses, nothing.
They don't think it's one man.
This is the Boston Strangler.
The flesh.
This is the biggest case we've ever had.
It's not going away because the killing isn't just going to stop.
That's actually a remake of The Boston Strangler. The first movie was a famous, controversial film starring Tony Curtis as DeSalvo back in 1968. The Strangler case shows how popular understanding of a crime can actually complicate the justice system's search for the truth. And here to talk about that is Philip Martin, investigative reporter for our partner WGBH, Boston Public Radio. Welcome, Philip.
John, thanks a lot.
Does DNA and this DNA breakthrough that we've been talking about here, does it change things? Does it really refute the popular culture sense of eternal mystery regarding the Boston Strangler case?
Well, you think about a case like this, and you think about this whole notion of a popular imagination. And this case, basically, because it was unsolved, you could basically infer anything from the Boston Strangler case, the whole notion of imagining who the suspect or suspects are. And that's what we've seen for years, including a recent Boston Strangler movie that came out in 2008. That interpretation inferred that there was more than one strangler. With the DNA match by the authorities here in Massachusetts, a DNA sample that was taken surreptitiously from a nephew of Albert DeSalvo, the confessed Boston Strangler, they were able to connect Albert DeSalvo definitively to his last victim. This is, Mary Sullivan. This DNA match, called a familial match, fit exactly. It was taken from a blanket that was from the scene of the crime in 1964, January 4th, 1964, when this young woman was assaulted. The blanket was saved by a detective. That blanket was recovered. But in order to ascertain whether or not there was a DNA match to what was found on the scene, they had to obtain another sample. Authorities got that sample surreptitiously, followed a nephew of Albert DeSalvo. When he dropped a cup, they grabbed the cup, matched the DNA on the cup to Albert DeSalvo, and zam, there you have it, of a confirmation of Albert DeSalvo as the killer of Mary Sullivan.
I can see Hollywood taking that set of circumstances and turning that into a movie right there. But I guess the irony here is Albert DeSalvo served much of his life in prison, convicted of other crimes. It's kind of ironic and a little sad that the families of the victims had to endure this sense of doubt so long by Hollywood and popular culture.
Well, that doubt is not over. You're right. Albert DeSalvo died in prison on unrelated charges, robbery and sexual assault, but never, ever convicted of killing these 11, possibly 13 women. And the conclusion of this case, I'm afraid, is not conclusive at all. What this DNA has determined, there's a link, of course, between Albert DeSalvo and Mary Sullivan definitively, but there are other women. Their cases have not been solved.
Once again, we learn DNA is not definitive and cannot solve the mysteries of doubt sown in the human heart. Philip Martin, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Philip Martin, investigative reporter for our partner WGBH, Boston Public Radio.